day. That will be, oh, sing that chorus once more. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. And there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day. That let's all stand this morning. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace, then he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, and there will be no sorrow there, and no more burdens to bear. Oh, no more sickness, no pain, no more part. Aren't you happy for that this morning? And forever I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. Amen. Just to think to be with him for all eternity. Amen. If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, just turn to your neighbor and greet him in the Lord's name. Let's sing that chorus once more. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. And when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how he healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise.
think about the Lord and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, oh, how He picked me up, turned me around, and how He placed my feet on solid ground.
Sing that chorus, I will praise Him, I will praise Him.
Amen.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. Oh, we come to worship Him this morning. Singing this morning.
And praise the Lord. Just think about all the evilness that's going on in the world and people. This week, a mother of 11, they found her dead in somebody's yard. Our little boyfriend, he was spent 8 years in prison, was out 10 days, and somebody found him dead in a yard. So while we got a chance to praise the Lord and accept Him as our deliverer, let us do that. Forget about all this other stuff in the world, because time is passing by quickly. And Ralph said the bride has made herself ready. And each of us is a part of that bride. It don't say when He come and call, get ready. Be ready before it call, because when the call is made, all that's not ready won't hear it.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 15. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered, Lord, unto Your house, Lord, praise, we ask Your blessing be upon us. Lord, that Your word will guide us and lead us, Lord, into all happiness. Lord, turn away from the wickedness of this world. Lord, let us love each and every one, Lord, that we come in contact with. Lord, for we know that we all are a part of Your bride. If we are not, Lord, then where shall we end? Lord, we ask Your blessing be upon us this morning. Father, we thank You that we was able to have a desire, Lord, to come together to worship. Lord, and bless our hearts and strengthen them. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 15. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him.
Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto thy cry. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Can say we want that in our life this morning. We desire that. Let your will be done, but Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and lift the tithes and offering? I was listening to a sermon one time, and Brother Branham was talking about receiving the word, and something he said just really resonated. He said, as you receive the word, believe the word, you become the word. So simple. Just so simple. That's just a surrendering moment as you hear it, believe it, and let it just be quickened to you. Amen.
Holy words long preserved for our walk. Word of God ever true.
again, and holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart, and words of life is words of hope. It gives us strength, it helps us cope. In this world, wherever we roam, the word of God, oh, he's our God this morning. Oh, word of God, ever true, is changing me, changing you. We have come with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God, let's sing that last verse. And holy words of our faith handed down to this age. It came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. And holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God, and sing that chorus once more. Word of God, oh, ever true, is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing holding your hand. So let your kingdom come and let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshiper arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Sing that chorus once more. Oh, let the worshiper arise, and let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the song of your redeemed as the bride of every nation. Oh, she's awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, this is our King. Let the worshiper arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Verse 3. Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of his redeems. Oh, he has opened up the seals. Now the bride will see this brand new revelation, the song of eternity. Worthy is the, oh, he's so worthy this morning. Oh, hallelujah. and power. Oh, yes, she's anointed to see. Oh, the seals have now been opened. It's the last great mystery. This is his her song, the song of the redeemed. Let the worshiper arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Are you surrendering? I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the see the bride rejoicing, and as oh, that's her song this morning. Every chain of death is broken, and we have been set free. Satan has been defeated. Let our worship be praise to our Lord, praise to our King. Let the worshiper arise. Bride rejoicing, song of victory. Every chain of death is broken. We have been set free. Satan, he has been defeated. Yes, let our worship ring our Lord. Pleasing to our King, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, song, Goodness of God. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to try to sing one. Have y'all sing with me. And y'all don't have to be seated, but I want to try a little bit of that song, The Goodness of God. How many can say, I love you, Lord, for your mercies have never failed me. And all my days are in your hands. He said, from the moment that I wake up to the time I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. So let's sing a little bit of that this morning, if I can find the words.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so fire. In the darkest nights, you are
close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Oh, you're so good to us.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Is running after me.
And all my life,
and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we stand here this morning, Lord, knowing your goodness is running after us. Lord, the roads that we took was wrong. Lord, we went contrary to the word. But Father, your goodness and mercy followed us. David said that your goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life. Lord, wherever we went, Lord, you were there with us. You chased after us. Lord, you brought us back into the fold, Lord Jesus. Lord, we can stand here this morning and call and speak of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Lord, if you brought us all this way, Lord. Lord, our cup overflows this morning, Lord Jesus. We just can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just commit this service into your hands this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for each one that has a need here in this building, Lord Jesus. Father, may they not leave this building the same way they come in, Father. Lord, may the every power, every spirit of the enemy that tries to hinder someone this morning, Lord Jesus, may it be bound by the Holy Spirit in this service this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we come this morning, not to be seen, Lord, and not to just see each other, Lord Jesus, but we come to see you. We come to see you high and lifted up this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you just come and have your will and way with us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever the needs are, the desires of each heart this morning, Lord Jesus, you know what is represented in this building, Lord Jesus. We commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, Lord. Lord, may people receive revelation this morning, Lord. May they receive deliverance this morning, Lord Jesus. Whatever we have need of this morning, Lord, let's just receive it, because it's an inexhaustible fountain this morning, Lord Jesus, for us to partake from, Lord. Lord, I believe that you're here with us this morning, Lord, to meet our needs, Lord. Lord, to deliver us, Lord, to draw us closer to you, Lord. Lord, help us get out of the way this morning, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit may come, Lord. Lord, we pray that it not just be another service, Lord, just another Sunday morning, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we see your presence with us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see the great miracles and the wonders Lord, because you said that if it was a toothache or cancer, Lord, it's nothing to you. It's all the same, Lord Jesus. Lord, may our faith rise to meet the challenge. Lord, whatever comes against us this morning, Lord, there's many that I think of many that have been mentioned, Lord, that have needs, Lord. There's many that are not in our midst this morning, Lord, that have been out for a while, Lord. Lord, we just continue to hold them up this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, because your word is the same, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you've never changed. And Lord, the thing is, if we can just meet the challenge with the same faith, Lord, you've done it before, you'll do it again. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that have come and gathered in this building this morning. Lord, we just want to bind together, Lord, in unity of faith, Lord. Lord, have your will and way with us, Lord. We thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to say that for some of you that don't know, we were in Conyers last night, and they had some of you knew about the Message Believers Youth Choir. Did anybody know? Brother Michael did. It's supposed to be on YouTube. If you get a chance, you ought to listen to it. Brother Daniel Gissendanner's church hosted it this year, and they were in Conyers at a different church. And Brother Jack Duff was the one that was the MC of the service. And Brother Isaiah Brooks and believers from Trinidad. And man, I tell you what, we had a good time last night. And as Brother Dick always quoted me, if that didn't stir your soul, your spoon fell out of your bowl. We had a good time last night. And I tell you what, God inhabits the praises of his people. And we had a wonderful time last night. And I just got to thinking about, they sang that song last night, Your Goodness is Running After Me. And I just, it's hard to contain it. And I was just overflowing. You know, we wonder why things happen the way they do in life, but you know, today is the third anniversary of my dad going home, my dad's graduation. And I thank the Lord for my dad and who he was. And one of the things I want to look at maybe this morning, but he made me in who I was. You know, I didn't have to grow into anything. I just look like him. I act like him. People say I sound like him. Well, you know, I didn't have to manufacture any of that. I didn't take one class to practice that. I never stood in the mirror. Because you know what? It's not an impersonation. It's a manifestation. And if I can do the same thing with my Heavenly Father, if the life, he said, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, you'll do the same things. He said, when I come and take up the Father and I take up our abode in you, then you'll do the same things. And so it's a wonderful thing this morning to know who we are, who our Father is, and what God has done for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look into 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. And also today is Janine's birthday. I don't know if they told you over there. Anybody mention? And I'm not going to tell you how old she is. She'll tell you. But I appreciate the Lord. You know, Janine talked about many times about moving back, you know, moving down here. And you know what? The Lord works out when you have the desire, but you don't see the plan, how God will work things out. You just put your trust in the Lord. He knows how to work things out. He knows where you need to be at. The only thing we have to do is just follow the leading of the Lord. And people always ask me, did I ever have to take care of my sister growing up? Did I ever have to look out for her? And I told them, no. When I was in high school, I had people tell me, said, Aaron, we'd rather fight you because you know when to stop. So I didn't have to take care of her. I might have had to pull her off of somebody, but I didn't have to pull nobody off of her. But I appreciate the Lord and His mercy and His grace. His goodness has followed us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So He knows where we need to be at and what we have need of. I'm so thankful He's mindful of us. Amen. Let's just read the scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." See, Christ is not known after the flesh. "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh." See, Paul didn't know Jesus in the flesh, but he had a carnal understanding of who Christ was. And many people only see Christ by a carnal understanding. He said, "Yet now henceforth know we him no more." And so when he said all that, then he says, "Therefore," see, we understand, "therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Because old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So now, we have been reconciled to God. But what is the second part of that? Then we have been given the word of reconciliation. Do you know that if the world's going to see Jesus Christ, they're going to see Jesus Christ in you? The word of reconciliation has been given to you. So we are the ones to show the world Jesus Christ. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. God bless you this morning. You can have your seats. And I entitled this message, "In Christ," because he said, if we be in Christ, then we are a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I want to look at this morning, I want to look at a few things about the Apostle Paul and his ministry. And I'd been reading this little excerpt, and I thought it was really interesting how they were talking about Paul's ministry. And you know, everybody has their questions of, and some of this will relate to the message. But, you know, they take the things that they look at, and they talk about Paul's ministry, and they begin to look at the things that Paul wrote about. Well, you know, the one thing that Paul wrote about in the scripture, when he was writing the scripture, and we know that it was all come from God because God gave him the word. Paul didn't write his own message. Paul was just the scribe, because the Holy Spirit was the one that came to Paul to write what he had. But what Paul was writing about his experiences. He had an experience, and that's what he wrote about. He knew what he was writing about, something that took place in his life. And they, you know, many times people ask about, why did Paul not write about this, or Paul didn't write about that? Why? Because that was not Paul's revelation. That was not Paul's experience. Paul's writing about his experience, and Paul writes the same experience that he had as the rest of the church, because one of the things that we'll get into is, you know, Peter and James and John, the disciples, those, they actually slept with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. All of those things that they had a personal experience with the flesh, Jesus, the man that walked on the shores of Galilee. They knew that man, but Paul never knew that man. Paul never had an understanding like Peter did. But he said, see, he began to talk about the experiences that he had, the understanding that he was given. And this is from the Message of Godhead Explained. Brother Branham's speaking here, and he's speaking, he says, and Paul, he goes here to King Agrippa and Festus. And he said, I was once of you, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, he come up under Gamaliel, the great teacher, and he knew and knew all their rules and regulations and just what they believed and what they did not believe. And said, even I persecuted the church of God unto death, he said. So he said, the very thing that I'm in question about, I was a persecutor of. And he said, and he talks about the death of Stephen. You know, that's laid such heaviness on Paul all of his life because what had taken place. And Brother Brown goes on, he said, well, you know, you can kill a messenger, but you can never kill his message. It's, if it's real, and the message, though Stephen was gone on to stand with Jesus, yet his message lingered on because Paul kept talking about it and what he's least to them, and he wasn't worthy to be called one because he had witnessed and give his consent to rid this godly man, this godly person. So when he began to talk about the things that he had seen, but he never could get rid of that because it was a part of, therefore Paul, like all men before men should do, Paul takes his experience back from the beginning to what he was and then places it and bases it upon the scripture to show that what he was doing was scriptural. Though it was contrary to their belief, and yet he was showing them that it was the scripture. And so that is what we are to do, is to take it back to the scripture. Now, when Paul begins to talk about the things that he had been through, you know, Peter could explain different things that he had, his experience and things that he had been through and all the different things about walking with Jesus and everything. But, you know, Paul had the experience that the New Testament church had. And see, that's the reason Paul writes about, see, if we understand the grace of God, the love of God has been expressed to us, has been shed abroad to us, then when we are to receive this word, then we don't follow Christ after the flesh. We don't try to follow what Jesus done after the flesh, because we follow him after the Spirit. Because if we see what has taken place, then we have become through the life of Christ that has been shed, that if we've received that, then when we receive that, then you know, we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That we're not following him after the flesh, because you know, the flesh will never amount to anything. He said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit is what gives life. And we can take the life that Jesus lived, because it's no longer him living and trying to follow like they did in the Old Testament, trying to live the law and trying to express all this thing from an understanding, from an intellectual standpoint, but it takes the life inside. When the life comes on the inside, when it becomes expressed from the inside, then you know what? You don't have to worry about it, because it will express itself. Because it's when it's on the inside, and it becomes a manifestation. Because then all of a sudden, see, when Peter and Paul and the disciples, when they lived their life, you know, they looked at what Jesus was doing. They didn't understand all those things. But you know what? There came a day when they did understand those things. There was a day that they understood. Why? Because the one that done those things was from the inside, and they began to manifest those things. And they began to understand. Why? Because all of a sudden, then they began to do the same things that Jesus done. This is from the Message, the Absolute. And he's talking about, we all need to have, talking about Daniel and different ones, everybody needs absolute. He said Paul had one too. We are reading about it. He had a Christ-centered call, and that was his absolute. That's the reason he wasn't afraid of what Agrippa would say, standing there. And Agrippa was a Jew, as you know. And so then when he was standing before the kings and things, God had already told him that he would be there. So he had an absolute. So he told exactly the heavenly vision. He said, I was not disobedient to it or dishonorable to it. Did not misjudge it. I didn't misbehave myself. but he had to and was not disobedient. He carried it out to the minute, for it was an absolute. In any Christ-centered life, that's your absolute. Now, continue. He says, now since meeting him face to face on the road to Damascus, that meant so much to Paul. Now, remember, he was a scholar beforehand. He was a mighty man in the scriptures, but he didn't have any typeposts but the Sanhedrin that would back him up, and had a diploma from a great teacher. He was a great man in his field, but he was waiting. Only thing he had, his absolute, would have only been as strong as his organization was. That's all the stronger he could be. And he was working faithful to that, and was taking Christians and binding them and making havoc of them, and even stoned Stephen. Yes, and I think later in his life, the reasons he went to Jerusalem when he was the prophet, he told him, don't go up there, Paul, for chains and prison waits for you. But Paul said, I know it, but I'm not going to Jerusalem. But I'm not going to Jerusalem as a witness. I'm going there. I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. For he knew what he had done, and his ambition was to seal his testimony with his own blood, die a martyr, because he killed one of God's martyrs. And he said, and he looked, and he continues on. You see what he talks about going on the road to Damascus and seeing those things. And he says, and he looked up when the light struck him down on the road to Damascus. He looked up and he saw that light shining. That blinded his eyes. And what a strange thing it was. No one else saw the light, just Saul. It was so promised, so real to him, until it blinded his eyes. He couldn't see. Totally blind with that pillar of fire blazing him right in the face. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, so why persecutest thou me? He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus. And it's hard for you to kick against these pricks. Rise now and go to Damascus, and there will be one sent to you. Then when he raised up from there, there was one, a prophet down in the city, who saw the vision while he was praying. Ananias came into Saul, laid his hands upon him, and he was healed by divine healing. He rose then and was baptized, washing away his sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And then he had an absolute. He was never the same after that. He went straight from church to church and place to place, trying to build up that which he had tried to tear down. And so we see how you understand Paul's life. And, you know, one of the things that they talk about was, you know, Paul was not the one, even though he was this great learned man and he understood the Old Testament, they all understand all these things. Yeah, you never find Paul writing about Jesus in a manger. You never understanding him talking about Isaiah and the different prophecies that Jesus would fulfill. You never hear him talking about all those things. You never, even though he was a Jew, you never hear Paul talking about the lineage of Joseph and Mary. You never hear him talk about any of those things. But the one thing he talks about was that Christ was the propitiation for our sins. That he was the fullness. That he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That he was the image of the invisible God. So when he came, he was the one that was to fulfill. What was he to fulfill? Not the Old Testament scriptures and all the Old Testament. But he was to be what he was to the bride. What he was to the message, the people of that day, or the people of that age, was that he was their sacrifice. He was the one that was to bridge the gap between God and man. He was the fulfillment of that, to bring them into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's who that Paul began to talk about. Why? Because it was not because Paul had all those years of learning and understood the Old Testament and understood all those great things. But you know what? When the Holy Ghost came and struck him down on the road to Damascus, when he took the word, they had to spend 3 years reading the Old Testament again, because then he began to see Christ. He had read all those years and understood all those things, but in that one moment when he was struck down, then something changed in his life, and it took him 3 years to get to the place that he needed to be. See, it takes, why? Because it took him back to the Word, and all of a sudden, the Word began to open, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning. See, when you get into the Word, it begins open. You start to walk forward and keep going forward, and it becomes open to you. You begin to dig into the Word, and it becomes real to you. See, that's what Brother Branham says, that, you know, why do we have so much struggle? Why do we have so much problems? Why? Because we don't give people to a new birth. Why? Because you know what? If you had a life-changing experience, then you know what? Somebody ought to see the life that's changed. You got to think, here's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Here's a man that had real zeal. Why? Because you know what? He had sold out his entire life to the word of the day. Why? Because he thought he was doing exactly what God had called him to do, to persecute the church. Well, we got to get rid of all these religious zealots. They're not following the law. They're making a mockery of it. And you know what? And you know what? They just believe they want the way they want to, and I'm going to believe the way I want to. That wasn't Paul's idea. Y'all were Jews, circumcised. Y'all know the law. Y'all know some hags off the backside of the desert somewhere. So y'all grew up in this message. Hallelujah. In the message. Y'all know what the law is. Y'all come in the temple every single week. Y'all know the law. Y'all kept all of the feast days. Y'all done all that kind of stuff. And now y'all are out here making this bunch of crazy people out here running around talking about some guy that raised from the dead and all these kind of things. All doing all this other stuff. You know what? Paul's like, we got to get rid of this. We're not letting this stuff go over with you. Like Barney Fife said, we got to nip it in the bud. We got to get rid of this. Amen. And you know what? He had real zeal. Because you know what? When Stephen was stoned, I may be wrong, I don't know. But maybe it was Paul that was out there, and he was the one that stirred those men up. Maybe it was Paul that was down there saying, we got to get rid of these people. Michael, do you not see this? And when they sing all this, you know, it's like, well, you know what? They got all worked up. And it's like, well, you know what? We're going to do something about it. So they went out there and got some stones. Especially when Stephen got out there and said, you uncircumcised and stiff-necked in heart to believe all the scripture. Well, because when Stephen took them right back to the scripture, he took them back to the Old Testament to show what Jesus had done, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the word. Well, but because when he went contrary to what they believed, then Paul, we got to get rid of this. We got to get rid of it. Well, Paul didn't have to pick up a stone and throw it. But you know what? If his words, if he was the one that stirred those men to go do that, then you know what? He was just as guilty as if he had taken the stones and stoned Stephen himself. But if he stood there holding the coats while they done it, well, I didn't get my hands dirty. But you know what? He was more guilty than they were. But he was the one that went up there. They got them all worked up about destroying that. He had zeal. He had a real love for the word. And you know what? Nobody could see what God could see in Saul. Nobody could see what he could see. God saw, I can use that man. That man's got the qualities, the characteristics, the qualifications that I'm looking for. I can use that man right there. Why? Because if you can get him the revelation of the word, then you know what? He had the same zeal. Didn't change who he was. His nature didn't change. But you know what? He still went after the word. And he began to go out. And then you see all of the church people. Oh, we believe in a miracle working God. We seen Jesus. We were here when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. We seen him raise the dead and heal the sick and know the thoughts and intents of people's heart and all the things that he had done, all the great things that he had done. We believe in a miracle working God. The problem was people didn't believe that Saul could be the miracle. Saul wasn't the miracle that they were looking for. No, Lord, we don't want that man. That man's crazy. He's a troublemaker as long as the day is. He's a troublemaker. We don't need that. But the Holy Spirit come and told Ananias. Ananias, I got a job for you. It's like, sure, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Is there not other people in the city that we can go to? Lord, you know what kind of person this man is. He ain't got no good reputation. But the Holy Spirit began to deal with Ananias. You go down there and find Saul. And you pray for him. See, many times we get in our own mind how things ought to be or not be, and then we want to judge who people are or who's going to make it or who's not going to make it. Well, thank God it's not up to us. It's not up to us. It's up to God who He chooses. He's got a sovereign will, and He's going to do however He wants to do it. And the thing is we've got to just yield to His will and His way and say, Lord, however it would be, Lord, let Your will be done. And here's Saul having this great zeal for the word, and all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with him and he goes through this and Ananias prays for him, and then he gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit becomes into him. He receives the Holy Ghost. But then you know what? The first thing he does is he don't run around and jump and shout and all these kind of things. Well, you know what? I received the Holy Ghost. I received the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul done? It's pretty amazing sometimes, because when you look at people, sometimes it's the last thing people want to do. But what'd he do? Paul goes out there and he takes the scripture. He takes all the scrolls. Well, if we believe like they say, you know, they could stick a pen through a scroll and every letter that it would touch, they would know what letter it was. When he had studied all that, day and night, he knew every word, he knew every jot, every tittle, he knew everything about that law. He had spent his entire life studying that. He knew the letter of it. But one day, he had to go on the backside of the desert for 3 years. He sat, and all he done was go scroll back through the scrolls, back through what the prophets had said, what David had said, all through the Old Testament, reading all that writing, all those letters, all of those prophecies, all those visions, everything that was written down. He began to read through those things, and all of a sudden, you know what? He saw it completely different. All of a sudden, he began to see things that he'd never seen before. All of a sudden, he began to see that Jesus Christ was laid right there in the Old Testament. And everything that was written, he began to speak of Christ. He began to see Christ, and he began to see every part of the Old Testament. When he began to look at the tabernacle and the temple, all these things, every part of that began to speak of Jesus Christ. He began to sing and all those things. Why did Paul, you know, people don't say, you know, they don't give, a lot of people won't give Paul credit for writing Hebrews. But when you begin to sit down and look at the things, Paul was exactly the one that had to write the book of Hebrews. Why? Because he was the one that had the understanding of the Old Testament. And no wonder when he after went through all of that writing and all those readings and everything, then he began to speak of the things all through the Old Testament, showing the Hebrews, the Jews, that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of it. See, when he began to take those things, he began to see who Jesus Christ was. It became real to him to see who he was. And then he began to express that. He turned his back on all the rest of it. Why? Because he found a new way, a living way, a life-changing way. And then he began to walk in that. Well, no doubt when Paul goes out and he begins to speak to the people and he begins to tell them about what he had done, what he had seen in the scripture about the life-changing. Well, you know, some people probably wouldn't open their door. People looking down the street, Paul's coming. Don't want to be standing on the same street with him. But you know what? It took a while for people to begin to see the change in Paul. Is this an act or is this really something going on? Did he have a real change? He's just trying to get more of us, what he's trying to do. Trying to be skeptical about it. But you know, one time he began to speak to those people, no doubt, and all of a sudden the presence of the Lord's there. When he begins to speak, then all of a sudden realize, you know, Paul's received what we've received. There's been a change. Amen. So you can't. It takes the Holy Ghost to do these things. Brother Branham is speaking here in the message, Jehovah Jireh. And he's speaking of the Bible. And he said, see, it's just like a jigsaw puzzle. The Bible's just like, he said, if you excuse the expression. He said, if you just try to put it together just the way you look at it, you've got to have something over here to look at. If you don't, you'll ruin your scene. You'll have a cow picking grass on top of a tree, so it won't work, won't be right. And he said, so it's the way when you try to put the Bible together with an intellectual understanding of it. You can't do it. It's a spirit-written word, and it takes the Holy Spirit to place it together. Then when you get the whole great picture from Eden out into chaos and the way of the cross back home, there, that's the entire picture. God's redemption story of sending his own son to redeem a lost and polluted people. And then continuing on here, and this is from the message, Serpent Seed. And Brother Ramsey says, he said, well, why did Paul command after it been done? Paul said, even if an angel from heaven come and preach anything else, let him be accursed. So when he had seen all this, you can't have it put together by an intellectual understanding, because that's what Paul had. Paul had the word. He had know all of, by intellect, he knew it all. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. And see, when Paul begins to speak to the other ones, he said, you can't lean on your understanding. See, that's what they had done. Because even when Paul began to rebuke the New Testament church, why? Because they went into grace and they wanted to go back to law. Amen. They were trying to go, why? Because they're trying to have this balance. You need to stay away from that. Yes. You walk in the grace of God, don't go back to the law. Amen. You've come out of that. Yes. Why? Because Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, that we come into grace. Then you know what? It's not us trying to fulfill the law by trying to do all the works. It's us to live by righteousness, by his righteousness in us. The life that's in us lives the word. He said, see, if an angel from heaven come and preach anything else, let him be accursed. Now you see, we got new light on it. No, you haven't. That's what the devil come to Eve with, some new light. You don't need no new light. You need to walk in the light that God's already put there. That's all. Amen. See, because we don't walk in the light, as Brother Luke Gibson was preaching the other night when he was here. You know, we got to stand and walk in the light as the light is shined in front of us. We need to walk in that light as he is in the light. But see, people are trying to find more light. Let's walk in the light that you've got. I can't remember who it was, but somebody was here and they were talking about the people overseas. Somebody, and they were talking about, oh, we want more message books. We want more message books. And somebody said, why you want more message books? You ain't read the message books you got. Yeah. Well, if you've not read the word that you've got now, why do you need more? Or do we just stack up message books like it's a status symbol? I got my big cabinet here, and I got all these. Well, if you're not inside of it, you're not reading it, then what good does it do you? Cut down all those trees to make all that paper for it to collect dust. You know, because many times I've seen preachers that, you know, some of the brothers come from overseas and you know, they only have half a dozen books sometimes. They only got a third of the books that we've got in their own language. And they know more about this message than other people do. People have been in it 40 years and you got somebody been here 2.5 years and they can preach circles around other people. Why is it? Why? Because there's somebody that's laying in the word, that's feeding on the word, and the word is being quickened to them, not just waiting for somebody just to have a status symbol. Who has been sold out to the word, and who's just playing games? Have we sold out? Have we given our all to this? Have we given our all? Have we committed all to God? I know I'm in there myself. Why? Because I need that too. Lord, help me. You know, it's not just throwing it out there. Hey, we're responsible for this too. See, we have to understand that God, what God has called us to. Not just to have an idea of something, but to know what the truth is, to understand the fullness of it. You know, Brother Bram is speaking here, and he says, God doesn't send you to hell for being a sinner. He said, God sends you to hell because you won't repent and take Christ as your Savior. He said, you refuse to take the right road. You send yourself to torment. You send your own soul to its eternal destination upon the free moral agency of your own convictions. God does not send anyone to hell. He never did and he never will. Men send themselves to hell because they refuse to accept the way of salvation. God, he's long-suffering. He doesn't want any to perish. Never wanted it. But men rather walk in darkness than walk in light. The reason is they're born in that condition and they have no desire to take the light. See the messenger, he said, but God is good and full of mercy and wouldn't want no one lost. But man wants to be lost because it's his desire. He refuses to walk in light. That's what makes him be lost. So you've got to walk in the light. And so wherever people get stuck at, it's not because God's fault, it's because their own fault. Because you know what? Because when time happens and things happen in life and whatever, we've got to get to the place where, you know, we get to the place where we get down to business with God. We got to get to the place where we figure out where we are with God and let God come and speak to us. And if it takes all night, if it takes all week, if it takes all month, you need to get before God and stay right there until God gives you an answer. Where God tells you what needs to be done and how it needs to be done and when it needs to be done. And if you let God work in your life, he'll take care of these things. But the problem is people still battle the same thing for 30, 40 years, whatever. They keep going around the same mountain. And the same problem is they never get to the place where they get to an answer. They never get to a tie post that'll hold you there and you'll know where your answer is. Why? Because they never get into a place and stay there until they get deliverance. Why? Because how many times has Brother Dale stood up here, Brother Wade has stood up here, and the Holy Spirit be moving through the building, and he keeps asking people, well, if you need something, now's your time to come. Well, people don't come. Well, then whose fault is that? Just like Brother Brown talking about the man dying on the doctor's doorstep. He's standing right there and the doctor's there to help him. But you know what? He don't die on the doorstep because he gets to the place where he won't go see the doctor. He's made it that far. He's just going to die on the steps and won't go in. And it's the same way. We can get to the same place. We battle the same things over and over and over and never get deliverance. See, we've got to get to the place where we come through and overcome.
Amen. Right.
This is from the message, The Key to the Door. He says, amen, you believe unto eternal life and are born again by your faith. Jesus said in St. John 5:24, he that believeth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Not the Holy Ghost, just has everlasting life. He's born into the family of God and then baptized into the Holy Ghost with the power of the intelligence of faith to believe the Holy Ghost is put to work and make it act right. See, as Brother Dale or Brother Wade was preaching on, you know, having, when he takes away the stony heart and he gives you a new spirit, he takes out your spirit and gives you a new spirit, but then he gives you his spirit.
Right.
See, there comes a time when he's got to be able to deal with you that he gives you a new spirit. He gives you a spirit that he can begin to deal with you. That you can live with your own self. Why? Because you know what? We're so hard-headed and sometimes we're so carnal that God has to beat on to us sometimes to get our attention. And it takes the grace of God, and as we were speaking of last time about living, walking in newness of the Spirit, why? Because when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit, justification is a work of the Holy Spirit, sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, and as you begin to walk along in that journey, see, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the goodness of God in your life showing that the Holy Ghost is working in you, drawing you to that place. And it's for us to walk in that newness. Why? Because we didn't walk in that before. We walked in the carnality of our own mind and the desires of the world. But when the Holy Ghost comes and starts drawing us forward, then you know what it takes for us? It takes us to continue to walk in it so the Holy Ghost can begin to do the work in us. And as He begins to do this work in us, then it starts to drive out the unclean spirit. Then the Holy Spirit can take up residence in us. It takes the work. But you know what? You've got to continue to go in. You've got to continue to go forward in that. And if you will continue to walk in that, then you'll see the work of God take place. He said, no man can understand the word outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when man says that he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the word being right, there's something wrong. See, Paul was a critic of the New Testament. The New Testament wasn't wrote. Paul was a Christian, was a critic of Christianity. Saul. And when he received the Holy Ghost, he went three years down in Asia and studied the scriptures. Because he was taught under Gamaliel, a great teacher. Then when he come back 14 years later, he went up to meet Peter at Jerusalem and found out there they were word and by word the same gospel. The same God that had Peter preach on the day of Pentecost and tell them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That same Holy Spirit revealed it to Paul, and he told them again in Acts 19, after they had done being baptized one time by John, said, you have to be baptized over again in the name of Jesus Christ. See? And then he says, see, the Holy Spirit stays right straight with the scriptures. It's faith in that unlocks every mystery. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 5:7, these three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which was Christ, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one, and there are three that bear record in earth, water, blood, spirit. These three are not one, but they agree in one. Now, you can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. They are one. But you can be justified without being sanctified, and you can be sanctified without having the Holy Ghost. Sanctification is the blood, is by the blood, through the blood comes life. See? And the Holy Ghost is the power of God. See? The power given to the church. So when you begin to see, then you've got to take, just like Paul did when he saw those things, it took the Holy Ghost and it began to make it manifest. And then he began to walk in that, and it's the same thing. See, the Holy Spirit is going to stay right with the scriptures. As Brother Bob was speaking of this morning, see, when the Holy Spirit comes and you begin to walk in the Word, then you know, then it begins to identify the things in your life. But it takes every step of the way. See, we don't discount somebody that's in the place of justification. Right. Why? Because that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know what? I don't discount anybody that's walking in justification. Why? Because that's the work of the Holy Ghost. And you know, we're not supposed to speak against anything against the Holy Ghost. See, the only person that's ever going to put down the Word, because if that's the Word and that's the Word that they're walking in, then they're doing exactly what God has for them to do. That's where you're at. That's your position. That's your place. But you know, the only person that's going to put that down is Satan. Is when you're anointed of Satan. See, there's not, well, you know, you're not where I'm at. Well, anytime we ever get to the position where we get that kind of spirit, we get that kind of attitude, then you know what? I don't want that. I don't want to be in your position. But see, but you know, praise God that God has called people and He's called them to that. But the problem is there's a further walk that you got to come to. You got to continue to walk and be an encouragement to people. Continue to walk. Continue to feed. Don't give up. Don't stop now. When you begin to see these things, when you begin to see the Spirit of the Lord working, well, praise God, just continue to walk. And if you fall down, if you fail, you know what? Even people that have been born again for years, you know what? They still got problems and they still have failures. But you know what? We don't give up. Praise God, we've got a... We got an advocate with the Father. He says, continuing on here, he says, see, you shall receive power. Acts 1:8, after this the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power. He said, not you'll be born again, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So you receive power after you receive the Holy Ghost. But first you must receive the Holy Ghost, and that is the power of God, see, to manifest and demonstrate you as you was a human and learn to walk and talk and do the things as a human does. When you're baptized with the way, with the Holy Ghost, you're given power to act as sons and daughters of God. No wonder people act and do the way they do today. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. If they would, they'd act different. They claim they have, but Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So how can you do it? And you see, it's just all scrupled up. See, come back to the facts. See, by the fruits you'll know them. It doesn't have, you know, because it's not by your testimony. It's by the testimony that you live. It's by the testimony that we live. It's not what we just say. It's because what takes place. See, many people, they just see it as something that takes place. But it's the Holy Ghost making so. See, this is a message from Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. And he was speaking of Luther and the seed coming through. And he says, and so will the church come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, right on into the formed image of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and the bride is a part of the bridegroom. It'll have to be a word church, not a denominational church. It'll be the word church, the word that's made known and by the vindicated word of God. So when we see this, that, you know, I put this in there because, you know, many times every time that I'll speak on this, I just want to show everybody that, you know, people nowadays have tried to say that Brother Branham preached the new birth a different way, and you know, he tried to change things, and he had one way, and I tell him, I said, well, this right here was from 12/6/1965. This is Modern Events at the end of his ministry, getting almost to the end of his ministry, and he says the church will go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says, see, Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and she'll have to be a word church. Amen. So if this is the word, then you know what? It will be the word all the way through from the beginning to the end. Amen. It will always be the same. So he never, when Brother Branham said in Future Home, he said, I've always taught three stages of grace. I've always taught this same thing. Well, it never, all the way through the scripture, it's the same thing. Yes. And if you think you changed somewhere, well, I'm sorry that you've got the wrong revelation. You've got off the word because God set things in order and it never changed. He never deviated from that. And so you always have to come that same way. Amen. Because if the natural birth types the spiritual birth, he didn't change the natural birth. It all comes the same way. You still got to come that same way, and it comes by the word, and it comes all the way through, and it's not some denominational idea, not some other way, but it's by the word. It's going to come the same way. It never changes. And so I wanted to put that in there because I want to show that because it's got to be by the word. But Brother Branham also says, but it's by the vindicated word. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. My word's not vindicated. Other people, but you know what? Brother Branham's word is vindicated. It, because it come from God. That's the reason I want to stand with the word. I want to say, because I'm standing and saying what he said. Because I know what the prophet said. I know what the scripture says, and I'm standing in the vindication of that. Why? Because I've had that same experience. I'm walking in that myself. I understand what he's talking about. See, that's what I'm standing in. And it's not that I'm trying to change anything. I want to know what he said. Brother Branham told us that we're supposed to believe what he said. Why? Because he was one. He didn't have his own ideas. He had the ideas. The word came from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord, to give him the word to speak. And when he spoke those things, then God was the one that was responsible for that, not him. So I'm not standing here having to be responsible for it. I just tell you what he said. And I'm responsible for believing it. And I'm responsible for acting on it. And I'm responsible for walking in it. That's my responsibility. This is from the... We've read this many times, but this is from Birth Pains. He says, you know, we know the old seed, it must, before the new seed can come out of the old seed, it must rot absolutely. Not die only, but rot after it's dead. We know that to be true. See, when that seed rots away, that all of that's got to be gone. You put the seed in the ground and it rots away, you can dig out through the ground and try to find it. You won't find it. It's gone. Because, you know, way down in the ground, you know, you can dig through all the dirt and you'll not find anything. But you know what? That life is still there. That seed's still there. You see, all that has to be, all the old man has to be gone. The same thing in the new birth. We never go back, but we go forward when you're born again. He said, that's why I think today we have not so many, genuine new birth, is because the seed is maybe will sympathize with the word or the person, but they don't want to rot away from the old system that they were in. They want to hold on to something. They don't want to come out of it. They want to stay in the old system and claim the new birth or the message of the hour, the message of the age. He said, we find that under the Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals, and all the other ages. They still try to hold on to the old system and claim this. But the old system age must die, rot, in order to bring forth the new one. They still want to clink. Your Brother Brown was speaking of, you know, he said, if the Lutherans had followed, just stayed in the same light, if they'd have just continued to walk in the light that was there, and if they would have continued on, then they would have become Wesleyans. They would have come right into the Methodists. They would have continued with John Wesley's message. Why? Because it would have brought them right into that. And he said, if the Methodists had continued on in the same word, following in the same light, because the light began to grow, the light began to move, there was more light to, and there was more light to walk in. If they'd have continued on, they'd have walked right in. And then he talked about the Nazarene and the Pilgrim Holiness and all the rest of them. He said, you cabbage down. He said, if you continued on, he said, you'd have come right into the Pentecost. He said, you'd have walked into the light and you'd have walked right into the gifts. But they failed to walk. They failed to because they were right where they were. Well, I know, but it's continued. Time to continue on. And that's what he said. The Pentecostals, if they'd have continued to walk in the light, well, because what was he there? He was there to minister the light to them, to show them the light. If they were to continue on, they'd come right into this message to see the end time, to see what God was doing in this end time. And it's the same way, brothers and sisters. We have to continue on today and walk in the same light. Don't stop. Continue to walk. And this is from the five definite identifications of the true church. And he was speaking. He said, if you will, he said, turn to Luke 24:49. And he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now he promised of a coming church, a coming kingdom. Now turn right around to Acts 1:8 now. Remember, he spoke also in Matthew 16:18 of upon this rock he would build his church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes as we go on down into the other subject, Acts 1:8. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the utmost parts of the world. A kingdom a coming kingdom of witnesses. Witnesses of his resurrection. Witnesses of his power. Witnesses of him being alive. You're my witnesses. Now Acts 1:8. So when he begins to talk about this, see, then when he says that you've received this Holy Spirit, the new birth, you walked through all this, and he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you walk this way, then you come to, he said, then when you've received this power, then you are to be witnesses unto me. See, now, then it's not just walking, but now we're supposed to be witnesses that to proclaim these things. See, we continue to walk in these things and understand the things that God has for us to be witnesses to the people, to show all these things. Now, one more thing I want to get to, and this is to understand about witnesses, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9. And Paul's writing here, says, and he says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Amen. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You know, when you begin to look at these things and you see these things that take place and you understand why certain things take place and happen. But you know, when you're a child, as we look back in childhood and, you know, we have experiences and things that happen and we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. But you know, it comes with growth, and it comes with, in time, you receive clarity on these things. And you know, I was just thinking about my dad, you know, and, you know, you grow up and, you know, they always tell you, you know, well, when you get older, you'll understand these things. Well, you know, sometimes you think, well, I don't think I'll ever understand this. But, you know, it takes in time. You do understand. You did begin to understand these things, and you do begin to see these things. And Paul's ready to say, you know, we understand as a child. We thought as a child. But he said, well, as maturity takes place, he said, then we begin to understand these things. And there's lots of times in our lives we see things that happen and we don't understand. And one of the things, when I was reading this article, what struck me is, you know, lots of times when people look about the things in the scripture and everything, you know, God didn't always write things in the first action reports. As if you were in the army or the military, you know, they always talk about the first action reports, and that's the first reports that come from the battlefields. When they first come in and something happens, the first thing that's the first, you know, what goes to headquarters, that first action report, this is what happened. Well, you know, there's only, you know, you're so blinded by that. You got blinders on. You can only see so much because of what took place. But, you know, in time, because you gather more information, there's more intelligence, more things take place, then all of a sudden you begin to see more things and they understand those first action reports because they're things that get left out. And so one of the things that they were writing about was, why did it take to the first century for them to write the Gospels? And it's like, well, you know what? Because those people writing back there would have seen that they were like first action reports and they're waiting. But all of a sudden, as they begin to grow and become to maturity, then all of a sudden when they look back to the life of Jesus Christ and they begin to write the Gospels, then all of a sudden they could see the things that took place. And they say, oh, well, now we understand those things because we're not children anymore. Now as we begin in maturity and have clarity of the scripture, now we can write the Gospels. Now we understand these things. We understand what Jesus was speaking of. And we are now all of a sudden when it begins to write all these things, they're like, well, they're just writing all the Gospels. It's hocus pocus. No, because God knows what he's doing. Because he knows exactly when he wanted to write them and who he wanted to write these things to understand, to see the clarity. And so many times in our lives we have things that happen and we don't understand why things happen the way they do. But you know, in time, God begins to show us clarity and show us these things. Why? Because we're no more children to be tossed about to and fro. But all of a sudden, in time, we begin to receive clarity of the Word. Because as he begins to manifest himself in us, as we begin to grow, we become up the stature of a perfect man. It's more of him in us, and we begin to see more. We begin to understand these things. Why? Because I thank God the things that I went through as a child, because you know what, I didn't understand them and I didn't appreciate them then, but I tell you what, I appreciate them a whole lot more this morning after reaching 49 years old, that I appreciate a lot of things I went through that I didn't appreciate then. Right. And why? Because it takes age. It takes experiences. It takes trials and hardships and all these things. And then all of a sudden, when these things take place, you say, thank God for what I've come through. Then you look back over your life and you see all the things that you've been through. And you can see the goodness of God in your life. You can see these things. Why? Because God has done all this in my life. And I can see the goodness of God. I'll share one more thing. How the musicians come before we close this morning. But you know, I was thinking about Brother Branham. And Brother Branham's talking about that young lady that had come, and she was, her family had been in and out of the church, and her mom and them, and that married lady. Let's all stand this morning. And the lady, she was married, and she had two children, and she was dying. She had a pregnancy that had went bad, and they were going to have to take the baby, and you know, they were there, and Y'all know the story. As she was going through all of that, and they called for Brother Branham to come to the hospital and pray with them. And, you know, at that time she began up there, and they were telling about all this stuff that was happening. And Brother Branham asked her, said, are you right with God? And she said, no, Brother Bill, I'm not. And Brother Branham gets down there, and they pray with her. And, you know, because Brother Ram told her, said, listen, do you realize that you're dying? Said, yes, I understand, because of the pregnancy. They weren't able to do anything. She was dying. And Brother Ram prayed for her. And she gave her heart to the Lord. And then her husband, you know, had come back to the Lord. And her mother had come back to the Lord. And, you know, all those things. And Brother Branham seen all the goodness of God in their lives. And all the things that was taking place. And, you know, they were laying there. And you know, they kept giving her medicine and everything. And she got better. And after she had went through all of that, she got better. They were going to do the surgery. It's like, well, praise the Lord. It looked like she's going to survive. But you know, the story is, as she was laying there in the hospital, and she talks to her mother, and it was late at night, and she tells her mom, said, Mother, I'm leaving. And Brother Branham, you know, as he describes the story, and say, like, well, you know, honey, I understand that you're going to have this surgery. You'll go home in a little bit, you know, after the surgery, everything will be fine. You will go home. And she told her mom, said, no, Mama, you don't understand. I'm going to my heavenly home. And, you know, Brother Branham was so tore up in that situation, because, you know, a little bit later she passed away, and he was not in town when they had her funeral. And when he came back to town, he was talking to Sister Mita. And, you know, Brother Branham said, I was so upset by all of that. And, you know, he said, I didn't know what to do. And he said, I don't know why I done it. But he stood there and he said, I don't know what caused me to do it, but he said, Lord God, he said, you owe me an understanding. See, after me going out there and telling that husband and tell him, come to the Lord, after you had done these things for him and all that, and then they take that girl's life like that, said, you owe me an understanding. When you tell God something like that, he'll leave you alone. Said, he don't owe me nothing. I'm in debt to him. Well, he just let me pout it out for a few days, you know. After about 3 or 4 months, one day I was out there on the creek bank, and the Lord spoke to me in a vision. He said, now you go tell her mother. I say this to her mother. Did not her time come the year before that, when she was drowning in a creek on a picnic? She should have went at that time. But I had to take her when she was ready to go. And that's why all this happened. And why you went out there. Then I got down and cried and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, your poor, stupid servant. I should have never said that. And then he went down there and began to talk to the mother. And how she got tied up in that creek. And the goodness of God to her was that she waited. God had mercy on her. And when she was ready to go, God called for her. And Brother Branham was so upset by that, he said, Lord, you owe me an explanation. God doesn't owe us anything. See, we walk by faith and not by sight. And not to charge God foolishly, because you know what? He's got it all in control. We walk as children, as child. We understood as a child, He said, but when we came a man, we put away childish things. We don't know how we're going to get the answers or if we ever get answers. There's lots of things we don't understand. And we may not ever understand them on this side. But I want to say, thank God, I know it's in His control. And say, Lord, I want to put my trust and confidence in You. Lord, You lead us and guide us. Give us what we have need of. I don't want to try to figure these things out. I want to be in Your perfect will and the light that You'd have us walk in. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's sing a song.
Oh, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can hinder. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling.
Stop.